Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into one of the greatest things that you have mentioned just before your departure. When you were with your disciples in that upper room where you had communion with them, and then you demonstrated what communion was all about. It literally meant to cleanse each other's walk so that we can have a part in you. And so today, as I share the word, I ask that you use my heart, my mind, and that I deliver it in a way that they understand it, and they can grasp it and run with it in the name of Jesus. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for it. Amen and amen. Well, I want to start off by saying that the downside to the communion table today, it doesn't have the same meaning when it was established in Christ. It has changed over the course of time. And the reason the meaning has changed is because the church now has what I call history. It has a history that has really diminished it. And so today I hope I do my best to reinstate the true meaning of the communion table. I hope that this will help you understand why the Apostle Paul said you should never take it traditionally. You should take it knowing what it represents. Now, most of the teaching that I have had on the communion table, they said that if you violate the meaning of what it was intended for, especially in the area of healing, if you don't believe in healing, then you need to repent through the communion table in order to receive the benefits that it has to offer you. And nothing could be further from the truth, because when the church was established, so was the communion table. And they didn't have doctrines that was against healing at that time. Matter of fact, Christianity was known as the healing religion. And that's all they knew it to mean. So they didn't have doctrines today that actually spoke against the issue of healing. Communion literally means what people have in fellowship that is common with each other. The word ecclesia is very interesting. This word literally is talking about the structure of the church and its governments. In other words, ecclesia, literally the called out ones, is referring to you were called out, and you were called out to a government structure. You were called out to order. And you were called out to the gifts. The fivefold ministry. That's what ecclesia is all about. Ecclesia is not the bonding process by which we are bonded together with. It's called koinonia or fellowship. The word koinonia, it's sometimes translated fellowship. It is the bonding process that represents a union. I want you to get a hold of this. It represents a union so strong in its development that the parts cannot be separated without the threat of death. For a single member to be removed from a true koinonia would be akin to the amputation of a limb or member. And so over the course of time, Jesus, his last time on earth, communicating with his apostles, the emphasis was on this communion table. Jesus cared more about our fellowship with each other than anything else. And he left it an example. And it requires our fellowship, our communion with each other. requires us to daily be reminded that we need to stay in the frame of mind to overlook the faults of others so that we can walk together. And that's what will eventually bond us together. It doesn't mean that it bonds us together in total agreement, but it bonds us together in the responsibility from the whom the one we represent, and it's called Jesus Christ. And He's the one we represent before the world. And that is how important communion is. It is not so much that if you fail to believe in healing, you won't get healed, and so you need to repent through the communion table. That is not the issue of what communion is about. Communion is about having a relationship with the Lord and having no fellowship with His body. Does anybody have a pen? When I fellowship a lot with different ministers, it bothers me when they misuse terminology, because misuse of terminology leads us astray. Matter of fact, understanding certain scriptures that are not penned right or accurately can form another form of doctrine, and we're not even aware of it. Well, communion is so sacred to the Lord, so sacred that Jesus' last qualification for the cross was to cleanse the example of His walk with His disciples. And that's where Peter stood up. Bless Peter's little heart. He stood up and said, "You're not going to wash my feet." No. And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me." And He was leaving him an example that if it qualifies for me to go to the cross, it should qualify you to remain with the body. And then, of course, Peter, you know, bless his darling heart, he says, "Wash my whole body and not my feet only." And He said, "It's not necessary." He says, "But your feet is where you touch the ground. That's where you collect dirt. And so when we walk with each other, we have a tendency to pick up a little dirt along the way. And there's a time when we have to sit down and we have to look back in remembrance of the price that Jesus paid for all of us co-equally. There's no exception to the rule. We're co-equal in His sight. But guess what? None of us are perfect. Isn't that amazing? And guess what? If we're not perfect, then we could have problems walking with each other. Somebody, I forgot who it was, somebody in the body here just recently said, I forgot who it was. Said, "Pastor, are you going to teach on 1 John again?" I said, "Why?" And I think they were giving me some insight on it. Was that you, Jerry? Yeah. Oh, was that you? Yeah, I looked over at you and you just jumped out at me. So that was you, right? Yeah, you came up and said, "Are you going to teach on 1 John again?" What was it that you were getting in that? You got some revelation. That's all right. I can't remember the conversation. But one word that many people use is this statement. We must build relationship. And there's an element of truth in that. We need to build on relationship. Because relationship is the state of being related. The mutual exchange between two people in marriage, birth. This is where we become one flesh once you're born in a marriage situation. It says that you two become one flesh. It's returning to childbearing. Birth, it's called bloodline. It's called inheritance. It's called kinship. It's something that we grow naturally into. What one has been born into, we are sons and daughters. What God through Christ did for us in His substitutionary work. There's five things that He did. He justified us, regardless of us. He imparted the gift of righteousness. That is not the fruit. It's the gift. And the Holy Spirit, what He does in us through the new birth, what Jesus is doing for us now in His present day ministry, seated at the right hand of God, and what His Word and divine love growing in us is doing through us in ministering. Our spirit is redeemed, but our body is not. Wouldn't it be nice if our body was redeemed? We'd get along quite well. So fellowship is what we have or what we should not have in our fellowship. Fellowship is what we have or what we should not have in our fellowship. People ask me, do you have a problem with me in our relationship? And I've said this. I do not have a problem with you in relationship. Well, I heard that you have a problem with me in relationship. And no, I don't have a problem with you in relationship. Our relationship between you and me is perfect. Because it was established in Christ. He imparted the gift of righteousness to me as well as you. The problem is I have to bear the fruit of righteousness of what was imparted to me. And so should you. We do not have a relationship problem. Did you know that every one of us in this building, we don't have a relationship problem? Why? Because God justified you. He justified me. His substitutionary work works for me, and it works for you. Isn't it good that we have relationship established? Thank God He did it. Now, it's true, we can build on it, but we cannot add to it because He gave it all to us. Thank God we didn't have to work for our right standing with God. He just gave it to us. Boy, I feel the anointing of God all over me. We're free. We sang it. Didn't we, Tammy? That's a testimony. We said, thank God He set us free. The problem is we need to be freed up with one another. And how do we do that? Well, we have what we call fellowship problems that arise once in a while. Have any of you ever noticed problems with other people? What'd you do? Put your hand up twice? 3, 4, 5, 6 times. How many problems have you run into the last hour? Wouldn't it be nice if we were all bearing the fruit of the relationship God gave us? Thank God He settled that one. Thank God He settled our relationship. Because I don't care how nasty you are towards me. The fact is, we're still related. Somebody says, you know what? There's just something about you I can't stand. I told them, we have a fellowship problem. They turned around and said, no, we have a relationship problem. No, we don't. No. If you think that you have a relationship problem with me, then you have to deny what Christ has made me in Him. And I don't think you'd go that far, because you definitely have a communion problem with me. It's very important to understand what relationship really means. When I married Sue, I entered into a relationship. And I'll never be with another woman but my woman. I love her so much. But you know what? There was a time I couldn't stand a lot of you. And God, when He met me in my office one day, He gave me a whole list of reasons why I should. Now, you know that's a lie. It's amazing how some ministers are run off from ministry. I understand why. If they think they have to build a relationship, they missed it already. They have to build on fellowship. And when you're building on fellowship, you're literally promoting your relationship. Do you guys get that? Whether you think right of me or not, this is what God thinks about me. Even in spite of my mistakes, here's what God thinks about me. I'm righteous. Jan, do you know what you're saying? Yeah, I do. Do you believe that? Yeah, I do. But I believe it with my spirit and not my natural head. Because my self-image has nothing to do with the image that I'm to be conformed into. Now, when you have a fellowship problem with the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason you have a problem with the fellowship of the Lord is because you're not fully convinced of what the Lord has done for you in His relationship with you. Again, relationship is bloodline. It's kinship. It's family. Where ecclesia is just the structure of the church and its government. Every one of us were called out. Are you ready? Every one of us were called out to the church. And we were called out to the government structure of the church, which requires us to learn to get along. Yes, I know. I had an argument with the Lord about a whole lot of you at one time when I began to realize, when God showed me that the relationship He put me in does not coincide with my love for you. If I really understand my relationship with Christ, if I really understand that, then I understand the responsibility that I have in my fellowship with you. That's true. Now, I'm going to shock some of you that maybe not have been here when I was teaching 1 John. But 1 John is a 5 little chapters of a book by the apostle that only knew the heart of Jesus way back when he walked with him. And because John, who is one of the sons of thunder, let's call fire out of heaven and crucify them all, Lord. God got into his heart and changed his heart into the apostle of love. Hallelujah. The book of 1 John, five little chapters, is so full of the richness of words laid together so perfectly, it's astounding. And that whole book was written for the preservation of the witness of the body of Christ among us in our fellowship. Because what happened is false teachers began to get into the body of Christ, false prophets, men who claimed that they were a child of God, but yet didn't bear the fruit of it, and the Gnostics of the day. Now, we have modern Gnostics today. They're believers who are just head knowledge and not heart change. That's where they get into law and they get hard and harsh with people. It's because they don't have a change of heart. They only have knowledge that they pride themselves in. And the kingdom of God, if you have the life of God in you, people, I'm going to tell you what builds the body of Christ is love. It's not knowledge, it's love. That's why the apostle said in the 1 Corinthians, he said, I show you a more excellent way. And that is the love of God that grows in our heart. But we lump the love of God, the divine love, right in with natural love, and they're two different things. Well, it's the same thing with relationship and fellowship. We lump them together. And I had a bunch of ministers up here called a minister table. And there was one minister, they were all saying fellowship or relationship, 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 except this one man, he had only used the term fellowship. And so afterwards, I asked him why he didn't use the term relationship like all the others in place of fellowship. And he says, because they're not the same. Wow. I said, you see that? He said, yeah. He said, relationship is what God has imparted to me. I can't add to it or I can't take away from it. God has given it to me. But my fellowship is very important because I have to learn how to fellowship with my brothers so that I'll grow in the love, the divine love of God for them. So in John, the first epistle of John, the beloved, the apostle that knew the love of God more than any of the others. Matter of fact, he outlived them all. He was the last living eyewitness of the Lord, our Savior. He even says it right here in this book. He says, we know that it is the last hour. And what he was referring to, his generation was about to pass away in his death. So he's the last living eyewitness of the Lord himself. And so when he penned the book of 1 John, he had a reason for penning it. Because a lot of the new converts were being deceived by many who did not understand communion or koinonia. And so he started out this book very interestingly. He says, that which was from the beginning, and he was talking about when Jesus manifested, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, not the beginning in Genesis, but the beginning when Christ appeared for ministry, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Boy, I wish I had time to go into the Greek on this. When he said, which we have handled with our hands. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Now watch this. That you also may have fellowship with us. In other words, the same fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things, it says, and these things we write to you, and these things I am writing to you, that our joy may be complete. And He doesn't say anything about relationship. You want to know why? He knew the church had a relationship with God because God gave it to the church. But the problem was the fellowship. So He penned this whole little 5 chapters to show us how fellowship can work in and amongst us through that communion table. The first time I taught on communion, when I got the true revelation of it, a lot of you came up to me and said, I've never seen the communion table that way. Well, it's because if you don't bond with the body, you'll never get the revelation of it. And so He begins to say this. This is the message which we have heard from Him. Guess what? He's going to give us the message that they have heard from Him. From Him. And declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now remember, this book is written on the basis of how our fellowship can be the same is their fellowship. I thought it was very interesting how the Greek mind argued over this. Is it our or is it we? There is no difference between them and us. The fellowship is totally the same. And so ours would be proper. And He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, watch this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we are liars and we do not practice truth. Watch this. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another. In the Greek, it's worded differently. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. Each other. You know why He's put it each other? Because it comes down to two people rubbing elbows together. Not being lost in the body, but down to the single walk with each other. Right. Amen. Now I'm beginning to see something, and I don't want to go into full detail of it because I've been studying the book of Revelations, reading it and praying in tongues. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something. The more I read that book and pray in tongues, the more I appreciate where I'm at presently. I'm loving it. And I'm going to tell you something about that book. John worded it right. Oh, when you eat of that book, it goes down sweet as honeycomb. But when you go to digest it, it's horrible. I can see why the church is not interested in that book. But notice this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. Now watch this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Well, I've been made the righteous. I've been given the gift of righteousness. Yeah. Do you bear the fruit of it in your fellowship? Now watch this. After reading this book, you will. We went in depth to this book, and we're going to go into it in depth again. Notice this. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if, this is a very interesting Greek word, if here, it's called the third class condition. It literally means maybe yes, maybe no, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and watch this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How would he cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Through his blood. His blood is the cleansing agent. Now I want you to get this. This is how many interpret chapter 1. If you do not confess your personal sin with God, you're walking in deception and you're in trouble. The confession he's talking about here about sins has nothing to do with your personal sin before him. That's between you and him privately. The confession of the sin he's talking about here is a sin that gets between two brothers who are to have good fellowship with each other. Because it has nothing to do with your personal life before him. This book was written for your personal walk with your brother under him. That's why a lot of ministers are failing in ministry. They have not grown to love the body of Christ. And I went through that impasse. My son will tell you, I wanted out of ministry. I went out to the base and asked him, where can I ride the lawnmower? I don't know what he thought at that time, but Tim said, yeah, you can ride the lawnmower. So I rode the lawnmower. And the more I rode it, the more I wanted out of ministry. Until my little sweetheart Tammy got a hold of me one day and challenged me. And Ann Carroll had to jump in on the pot too. And I went to God and said, God, you need to correct them. The problem with them is they had a fellowship problem with me. The problem was I have a fellowship problem with everybody. Didn't know it. But boy, I'll tell you what, God knows how to make a quick work of your missing the mark. I was not willing to confess my sin of fellowship with somebody else. Now, I could go to God and confess my own personal sin because nobody else needs to know about that. But when I have to publicly confess my sin and my fellowship with somebody else, that's harder. And that's what he's referring to. Now, can it be a personal sin in your... Absolutely. If I had a hidden sin in my closet, and I know that the hidden things of darkness will always come to light, I got to deal with God to get rid of that hidden sin that's personally in my life, because it can have adverse consequences with you and my fellowship. Amen? What if one day somebody stepped to the pulpit and said, Pastor Jan has an alcoholic problem. Would it hinder our fellowship? Come on, be honest. Yep. Of course it would. Of course it would. But the emphasis that John is putting here is the fact that everyone has a fellowship sin. They need to get out of the way so that we can walk together. And so we have to cleanse each other's feet. Why? Well, how many of you know that there is such a thing as trespassing? Has anybody ever trespassed? The Bible talks about geographical boundaries. The Word of God gets into your heart, it performs geographical boundaries so that you do not trespass. But all of us are prone to trespassing. And once we cross that line, we better acknowledge where we cross the line and get back where we belong. And so he goes on to say, if, maybe you will, maybe you won't, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a counselor. This is called a legal term for, a counsel, what would you call them? Advocate, a lawyer, yeah. One who would represent you. You know. I'm going to tell you something that says, agree with thine adversary while thou art in the way with him, or else he'll take you to the judge, and the judge will sentence you, and it'll cost you everything you have. That's why a lot of believers are not getting healed because of the way they've treated the body of Christ. Because within the body of Christ is where the anointing flows. I've seen a lot of good Christians lose their life prematurely simply because they could never connect with the church. And I understand why they could never connect with the church, because the church has got a history of malfunctioning. It has divided itself. Is Christ divided? We've divided ourselves by denominationalizing. Is Christ divided? Well, we divided ourselves on issues that should not be an issue for our dividing. I'll tell you, you sit and listen to somebody just rank on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and talk against the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And I get so fed up with that pastor. I told one brother, I said, you need to take communion with that kind of attitude. Because you're talking against the Holy Ghost. And you'll be held accountable for that. I taught that in the series on the Word Connection. You got to be careful how you talk about the kingdom of God, but you got to also be careful how you talk about your brothers and sisters. They are what they are. They bear the fruit that they bear. Learn to live with it. I had to. Why? You were all driving me out of the church and didn't even know it. You were all my problem, didn't even know it. But I knew it. And I had to sit down one day and confess my sin of breaking fellowship with you. I had to do it. None of us are above the law of Christ. None of us should ever be like Peter. You ain't gonna wash my feet. You ain't gonna wash my feet. Jesus said, fine. Get out of here. That's paraphrased term. You have no part with me. So he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. God does not have a problem with the world. The world has a problem with God. Yeah. Pretty interesting when you find out what a problem the world does have with God. Especially when you read the end of the message, Revelations. But now listen to me. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And many of us don't realize how important it is for our fellowship to be hooked up, linked together in peace. Are you following me? So that the love of God can grow in our heart for our brother. I want to tell you something in closing. I feel led to go this area, and I don't know why. But what grieves my heart is when believers hook up with unbelievers. It really bothers me. Without them really thinking of the adverse consequences of what the Bible has to say about that. What fellowship has light with darkness? And yet, God loves the world. But God is concerned about us linking up with the unbeliever of the world and not balancing ourselves out in light of it. Because it has an adverse consequences of our soul. People, our soul is too adaptable to its environment. And if we're not careful about what environment that we put it into, it can have consequences on how we think about things. You get around enough unbelief, you get around enough people that especially unbelievers, that fellowship in darkness, how much of that fellowship of darkness will get into you. I know, I've experienced it. And you know something? Even in the wrong kind of fellowship with believers, you get around the wrong kind of fellowship in the house of God with certain believers that are negative. They're never positive. They're not consistent. They don't know what faithfulness is. And they can have an adverse effect on you. That's why you've always got to deal with yourself and how you think about people. You've always got to have your mind in the right place with the right discernment about the environment that you put your soul into. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship? And this word for fellowship is not koinonia. It is a different Greek word. This is a very interesting word. It says, with unbelievers, for what? In this word, I don't want to give you the Greek word meaning, because I can't pronounce it right anyway. I can tell you what it means. It means to hold with them on a consistent basis. To be willing without restraint to fellowship with them. In other words, it means a believer who has no conviction in the fellowship of the unbeliever. He joins in with them. And yet he's a believer. Now watch this. Has righteousness with lawlessness? He's asking the question, and what communion, koinonia, a common union, has light with darkness? And what accord? This word accord, again, is a word, it's not the Honda Accord. It's the word for agreement, willing to hold on without restraint. Has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I walk among them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, and I hate that chapter 7 being there because it's a continuation of what was just said. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all pollution of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, our translators didn't connect this verse up with what was previously said because they put, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. There is no filthiness in your spirit when you get born again. Where do you think your God conscience comes from? It'll always remain intact as long as the Holy Ghost has united itself with your inner man. That's the part that we as believers got to be careful about violating, is our inward conscience of knowing right from wrong. And if you continue to violate that, you won't even know what communion is all about. Aren't you glad I'm perfect? I can preach this message to you because I never had this problem. I'm just as guilty as every one of you sitting in this building. I am. I talked ugly about you. I even did it today. Uh-oh. Somebody said, uh-oh. Had to have been Ida. Actually, verse 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God or the respect of God. You are living in a time period when people do not respect God. Even believers don't respect God. But it'll all come out in the wash eventually. Well, having said all that to say this, does anybody have a problem with anybody? We're going to get it cleansed right now. Will the ushers come up and get the communion tables? Well, in the same night in which he was betrayed, we read it. His shed blood was the cleansing agent that set you free from your transgressions. And I have to honor that by forgiving you when you trespass my line. And that's how I cleanse it. Are you ready? If you don't know how to do this, you'll never progress spiritually. In that night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, take and drink. For this is a symbolic also of the cleansing agent. That is the confession of the sin that gets between us and our neighbor. Spilt it down my wrist. So let's take and drink. Forgive me, Lord. Okay, ushers. Just pass your cups to the center aisle. How many of you can admit with me that people can get on your nerves? Or am I the only truthful one here today? People can get on your nerves. I still got to learn to control my mouth. Sue, don't I need to control my mouth? She'll tell you. No? Thank you, honey. I'm going to have a nice time at home today. Anyway. Praise God. Did you get something out of the message this morning? Praise God. I hope so. Communion is a wonderful thing to remember. Your neighbor. I had a problem with myself and my fellowship with you. It was in me. That's why John the Beloved said, confess your sins that come between you and them. That can even be a personal sin. But its emphasis is still on our fellowship. I want to overcome because I don't want to ever disappoint you. I don't want to ever be what I'm not supposed to be to you. I certainly don't want to be backslidden and then doing ministry because I'll eat the fruit of my own way. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for the communion table in remembrance of you. And how you displayed the communion table by washing those wonderful apostles' feet. And Father, may it be embedded in us to always be mindful of never allowing sin to come between me and my brother, but to confess it before you so that I have a wonderful advocate to take care of me. Father, I want to be offense free. I don't want to ever attain an offense again. Help me to not be full of offenses. Help me to walk in love with all my brothers and sisters, in spite of where they're at. Help me grow my love towards them, so that my fellowship with them is pure and right. Everybody stand up. The only thing I'm going to make an altar call for this morning for is because the rest should have been put under the communion elements. If there's anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer, never confess Jesus as their Savior, they're more willing to pray with you. Hallelujah. All else, the communion elements will take care of. But if you've never said the sinner's prayer, we want to pray with you and have you come into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, please don't let sin enter in between you and another brother. Confess it before the Lord so that your fellowship will be pure joy. And having said that, you're dismissed.